Welcome to Invitations to Play, Learn, Grow, the podcast. I am your creative solutions creator and professional messmaker for the creative campus. For those of you who may not know me, or this may be your first time joining the broadcast, my name is Teresa. This week, I want to talk to you about something that I hear both parents and caregivers talk and question quite a lot. And that is the teacher perspective versus the parent perspective. How are they the same? How are they different? Is one more important than the other? We're going to talk about all of these things, and I'm going to give you some helpful information that can help you hopefully wade through bringing together the two perspectives. Excuse me, sorry about that. So, the teacher perspective versus the parent perspective. Are they the same or are they different? Or are they both? So the teacher perspective, most teachers, when they are creating learning and skill building opportunities, they are focused on exploration of new ideas. They come from an educational and skill building perspective. They want to build excitement for learning. They want to engage kids, excite kids about getting engaged in learning new skills and building on the skills that they already have. And every adventure, every activity, every experience that a teacher creates or offers is built with the goal of their students learning something new and or building or gaining a new skill or set of skills through the experience or the lesson. Whereas parents are usually coming from a place of wanting and needing behavioral solutions. So they want their kids to be independent. They want their kids to be social. They want their kids to be helpful. They want their kids to be responsible for themselves. They want their kids to listen well and follow directions and obey rules and are very process oriented. So parents often are looking to teach their children ways to do something. So they're looking for ways, looking for solutions that will help their children be responsible. So maybe they're looking for chore charts that will teach their children responsibility, that will guide their children to automatically understand what their responsibilities are and how they can accomplish those responsibilities. So that is one of the differences between a teacher's perspective versus a parent's perspective. I often hear the question, why are my children so much better behaved in school than they are at home? Or why does my child behave so much differently around people like their teachers or their coaches than they do at home? And it is because of this perspective. It is because of the way a coach or a teacher engages with children and the expectations that they set. Teachers often, coaches often have very strict rules or high expectations for how you're to speak, how you're to behave in the classroom or on the field. You know, coaches always talk about code of conduct and following the rules of the game. And so kids are expected to respond and behave in a specific way in the presence of teachers and coaches. It's the same way in the classroom. A classroom can't run without rules and processes and cleanup routines and calendars of events. And these tools are things that help us create order, which frees a teacher up to get kids engaged, get kids excited about learning something new, whether it's a new skill or a new concept or a new idea or a new understanding of a subject. Teachers naturally create fun and engaging ways for kids to understand math or for kids to remember how to search out letters and put them together to create words, and then how to put those words in an order that create a sentence, and then using those sentences to create a story. Sorry, I'm not sure exactly why I keep coughing, but hopefully it'll get better here and isn't too distracting. So parents, oftentimes when they're engaging with their kids, they are focused on the interaction, the relationship. They want kids to have fun. And again, like we were talking a minute ago, they want kids to, or they expect kids to, follow the rules or listen very well or follow expected directions. And sometimes what parents forget is that we have to engage these things in kids. They're not natural responses for kids. So we have to create incentives for kids to want to or be triggered to behave in a way that we expect in certain situations. So if we want them to automatically clean up their mess, we have to create cues for them to automatically be triggered to do that. So you can do that by making the chore a fun experience. So you can create charts that remind kids what is supposed to go where. So if their job is to set or unset the table every single day, sometimes kids will forget all of the things that they need to, quote unquote, set out on the table. So if you can create a visual cue, it will become an automatic response the more that they practice it to set out a plate for everybody, set out a cup for everybody, set out a spoon, a fork, a knife, maybe a placemat for everybody at the table. Having a visual cue is just one way you can trigger automatic behavior. Another way that you can trigger kids to, for instance, be responsible is incentives. You can use a chart that, again, is labeled with the name or the title of the chore or act that they're supposed to carry out, such as dressing themselves. And then that chart is labeled with all the different things that they will need to have chosen or need to have done in order to successfully have completed their mission. You can do this with preparing their own breakfast or making their own lunch or dressing themselves or bathing themselves. And by creating these cues, it guides the children to know what is expected of them, and it eliminates stress for you as the adult, because over time you will not have to, quote unquote, harp on the kids as much to A, do the thing that they're supposed to do, and B, remember all of the little parts that they need to include to make sure that they fully complete the thing that they're supposed to be doing. So that's a little bit about the teacher perspective versus the parent perspective. We're going to get into it a little bit more as we go through the episode here, but I wanted to give you a couple of tips. So for the teacher perspective, my tip for you is to practice subjects through exploration and curiosity, keeping the desire for exploration and heightening the curiosity of the topic at the forefront of whatever activity you are engaging kids in will ensure that the activity is received well and is carried out successfully, because you will have excited the children or created curiosity in the children about a topic or subject that you are introducing, and you're getting them to engage in the topic or practice the subject through exploring versus repetitive practice. So if the subject is science, exploring a specific scientific topic like animal habitats and setting up stations for kids to explore those animal habitats is a great example of using exploration and engaging the kids' curiosity about the subject to practice learning that subject. And they're engaging in experiments and experiences that allow them to explore and experience the topic. And you're going to ultimately excite them to want to learn and do it more and more. Now, for the parent perspective or behavioral solutions perspective, the tip I want to give you is this. Build behaviors like listening or following directions with challenges. So, challenges is one of my favorite ways to get kids involved in learning pretty much any subject or exploring any topic. Because when you can engage kids in a challenge, you're testing their current skills, you're expanding their current skills, and you're introducing new skills. But you're also doing the same thing with learning and knowledge, because you can create challenges that introduce facts or other forms of information that the kids might have a little bit of familiarity with, or they may have none at all. And you can use those facts to touch on their current understanding of a subject and expand it through engaging in and completing a challenge. Now, these can be solo challenges, or these can be challenges that require teamwork. So you're essentially killing two birds with one stone. You're building or expanding multiple skills while exploring specific subjects or topics. Or maybe you're bringing a subject and a topic together and combining it all in a challenge form. So the tools I want to share with you this week that can make both the teacher perspective and the parent perspective, so the educational skills or the behavioral solutions, easier to expand upon or build, are the following. You can use games both to learn educational information or build new skills, but you can also build games to reinforce or alter behaviors. So you can create a game or an activity out of cooking or setting the table or getting dressed. We'll go with getting dressed first, because that is oftentimes a skill that kids of different ages struggle with. They sometimes struggle with manipulating a zipper or a strap or a buckle or tying their shoes. And when you can tie these things into a game, then it becomes fun and not work or not frustration. And they, being the children, want to practice it more or engage in it more. So you could create a series of questions, what I call what am I or who am I, or you could call it where am I going, or better yet, what am I dressing for? I think I like that one the best. What am I dressing for? So what you would do is you would say, it is a cold and windy day outside. What are the forms of clothing that I will need to make sure that I am not cold as I go outside today? So what piece of clothing will keep my hands the warmest? What piece of clothing will keep my head from getting cold? What piece of clothing could I put, or what series of clothing could I put on my toes to make sure that I don't freeze my toes. And you could give an easy question that gives it away, or you could give a more difficult question that is more vague that would cause the children to think more and ask a series of their own questions. And you can give clues if they struggle with the question, coming up with an answer to the question right away. You can give clues that will bring them closer and closer to guessing the item. And you can turn it into a long-term game, or you can turn it into a form of a chart where they would have to turn over a label on a specific body part. If you were to create a chart of a person, say a person who was getting ready to go out into the cold, and you had specific areas of the body, and you created cutouts of the items that need to be chosen in order to be prepared to go outside, you could put a flap over, for instance, the hand, where they would have, if they're old enough, they would have to read the clue, like, what is a piece of clothing that would protect my fingers from the cold? Did you take them and bring them with us outside? Or if you were to put something on the head or the ears, it would be something very similar, like, what piece of clothing could keep my head warm or keep my ears from turning red while I'm outside? So that's just a fun way to create a game around getting kids to engage in remembering or memorizing the list of items that they need to gather before they would go outside. You can also create challenges, as we talked about. You can create challenges around who can get ready first. You could give them a chart of all of the things that they need to put on before going outside. Boots on your feet to keep your feet warm. Ski pants over your body to keep you warm and dry when rolling in the snow. A hat on your head, or earmuffs on your ears, or a scarf around your neck. And put them in a bucket. And say, and give them read out loud trivia questions. And they have to rifle through their bucket of clothes to find the one that matches the clues and put it on. And whoever puts on all the clothes first could get some sort of a privilege. It's a way to make being responsible exciting. And that's what you wanted. That's the goal, is to get kids excited about altering their behaviors and understanding which behaviors are expected of them and which ones are expected that they not engage in. Challenges are always a lot of fun because you never know how they're going to come out. You never know which ones are going to work well and which ones aren't. So I encourage, whenever possible, both parents and teachers to engage kids in challenges, because giving kids a sense of competition, friendly competition, not winner-loser competition, but friendly competition, gets them excited about the task at hand, whether that's learning something new or building a new skill or carrying through with a responsibility. The third tool that I wanted to share with you is experiments. I think experiments are fun. I think that experiments are fun both as a teacher, but can also be fun as a parent or a caregiver, because you get to engage in an experience right alongside the children, and that builds a shared experience and in its own way creates excitement for learning and will get kids to want to participate in something maybe that they've never done before or something that they've never learned about before, which can automatically cause resistance in kids. But engaging in a challenge where neither you as the adult nor the child truly knows the full outcome builds excitement in both the topic that you're going to experiment with and the skills that need to be practiced in order to carry out the experiment successfully. So those are three tools that you can use both as a teacher or as a parent or caregiver to engage kids in educational learning, skill building, or behavior modification or practice. Experiments work to support all of these things, and they can be used in endless ways. You can customize challenges and experiments and games based on the thing you want to learn or the outcome that you want to create. So I want to give a challenge this week. A challenge that can be completed whether you're a teacher, a parent, or a caregiver. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter whether you're looking for a behavioral solution, or it doesn't matter if you're looking for an educational outcome or a skill building outcome. And the challenge is this. I want you, as a group, to choose and complete a job. So this may be an experiment. Perhaps there is something that the kids in your life have been curious about for a very long time. Maybe they are curious about construction, and you choose to explore construction as a wide topic and all of the different things that are involved in construction. And you choose a construction-oriented job. I want you to break down the job into small tasks and work together to complete the project. So this could be that the kids in your life love to stack things, and you want to experiment with stacking different things. Do all things stack the same? Why or why not? How many of thing A can we stack before they fall over? Compare that to how many of thing B can we stack before they fall over? And you can do as many different comparisons as you want. Perhaps the kids in your life are very interested in homes around the world. You can explore the different kinds of homes that there are. And then I want to encourage you to build one. Whether it's an art project, so a tabletop-sized version, or a life-size version that they can use as a play or exploration opportunity. So you're bringing learning, you're bringing skill building, and you're building cooperation and behavior together in one activity. So that is your challenge for this week. And as we wrap up, I also want to give you a couple of questions that you can ask to start a conversation around the topics that we have talked about today, whether you're talking about behavior solutions like, again, being independent and dressing yourself or taking care of yourself and cleaning yourself or grooming yourself or being responsible to clean up your own room and put your clothes away and your toys away or your sports equipment away, or maybe it's properly caring for your sports equipment. These questions can help start those conversations, and they can help build on those conversations. So question number one is, how can we work together to achieve our goal? Again, so if you're working on kids being responsible for cleaning their own playroom, how can we work together to make keeping the playroom as clean as possible, as easy as possible? Some of the answers you might come up with are labeling homes for all the items. And you can talk about ways you can do that, or talking about how you can store different items and where they might need to go and what would be the easiest place to store them so to put them away each time. Question number two, what steps will we need to take to accomplish our goal? So going back to exploring homes of the world that we were talking about a second ago, what steps would we need to take to accomplish building a teepee or building a house of bricks or building a house of sheets or whatever you choose to use? Question number three, what tools would help complete this task? Now, this is a complicated question because tools can be anything that makes the job easier. So a recipe can be a tool. Charts can be a tool if you're talking about practicing new behaviors. So charts for the steps you need to take to brush your teeth or wash your face or cook a meal or make your own lunch or prepare your own breakfast or complete your homework. Maybe in your household or your classroom, you need homework routines. Charts would be incredibly helpful tools to have for that. But tools can also be real tools. So if the task you're looking to create is building a boat or making some Play-Doh, you're going to need real tools for those things. What kind of tools are you going to need? Are you going to need bowls? Are you going to need measuring cups to make Play-Doh? Are you going to need spoons? What kind of tools are you going to need, and what job are they each going to accomplish? If you're going to build a boat for make-believe play, or as an art project, or as a science experiment, what materials do we need to build that boat? What tools are going to help us put those materials together to complete our boat? So those are your questions to start conversations this week. I hope that you enjoyed this information. I hope it will help you, whether you are a parent, a caregiver, or a teacher. And if you need further help with this week's topic or any other topic, you can always reach out to me and ask me your questions, and I will help create 5 free solutions for you. So I will link to that in the description of this episode. And also, don't forget, if you want to receive daily content like what I shared in today's episode, so tips, tools, challenges, questions, and the opportunity to ask me questions of your own, you can now join my virtual classroom, which is a confidential space where you can receive daily information directly to your messenger inbox, and you have the opportunity to ask me your most personal questions, and it is all completely confidential. So I will link to that in the comments as well. Thank you for joining me this week. I hope you find this information useful, and I will meet you right back here next week, where I will have another fun, engaging topic full of new invitations to play, learn, grow.
The podcast you just heard was made using Anchor. Ever thought about making your own podcast? Anchor makes it really easy for anyone to get started. It's a one-stop shop for recording, hosting, and distributing podcasts. Best of all, it's 100% free. Sign up now at anchor.fm/new. That's anchor.fm/new to get started.